I'd like to call to order the regular board meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay. Would you all please rise and join us in the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of Director Steele.
Great. This is the time for public comment. And for those of you that have not been here before, public comment is for things that are not on the agenda. So if there is something that you would like to speak to that's on the agenda, this is not the time that you speak. You need to speak at the time that that agenda item is called. But if you have something else that you want to talk about that isn't on the agenda, this would be the time to come up and you get your 3 minutes of fame. So is there anybody that has anything that they would like to talk about that is not an agendized item? Okay, hearing none.
Those that wish to speak, we've got a comment card out there on items.
Yeah, and if you do want to speak, just for orderly sake, if you feel so inclined, we would appreciate it if you would fill out a speaking. There's some cards out there. There's speaker cards, and you can come up and bring them up to Carol, and she'll get them up to me, and it helps us be a little bit more orderly and know who we're talking to. So feel free to do that. If you have some comments you want to make, if you're here just to hear the presentation from the county, I think we're all here to hear that. So hearing no public comment, I will close public comment at this point. Consent calendar?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Is there any public comment on the consent calendar? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Second, we have area agency representatives. Chief, you want to come up and give us a run down on what's going on with the ECCFPD, please.
Thank you. I know you're busy tonight, so I'll try to be as brief as possible. Good evening, Board. Just a brief update on district activities for the month of January. There were 64 calls in Discovery Bay for the month of January. Average response time was 9 minutes and 30 seconds. This included the two structure fires early in the month, which we discussed in our last meeting, so I won't revisit those. There was also, I will jump ahead, there was a shooting in Discovery Bay last night where a gentleman unfortunately was shot over the McDonald's area and was transported to a local trauma center. The district as a whole for January ran 710 calls with an average response time of 8 minutes and 19 seconds. That included 9 structure fires, 1 commercial fire, 6 vehicle fires, 1 large vehicle fire, and we still had 3 vegetation fires. As you know, we still haven't had any rain, so I encourage all residents of our district that if you have weeds, please cut them down. They're just going to stay dry for the rest of the season. We got our final numbers for 2017. There were 7,530 calls. That took 9,000 engine rollouts. That is a 1,000 call increase from the year prior. So we are getting busier by the day. On to some better news. We have ballots for Measure A have gone out. I encourage all residents in the district to please mail those back in with your vote. That is the decision for a 5 versus a 9 member fire board. So please get those in. There's only about another week and a half left. Even some really good news, we took possession of our Assistance to Firefighter grant funded SCBAs. What this did was provided 36 brand new air packs for the fire district with 72 air balls. This was a 90-10 grant split. So this saved the district approximately $220,000 by giving this grant. Huge win for us. We were in dire need of new equipment. This only cost the district, because of the 10%, we only spent $24,000. So we consider that a large victory at this time. As you've seen, we're on Nextdoor, and we were able to do some targeted things with the community about looking for some AEDs. Got some good responses to that. And if anybody in this room is on Pulse Point or any board members, I encourage you to join Pulse Point, because that's, you can see where the AEDs are located in Discovery Bay at this time. And finally, just a reminder, our open house is still a go for March 10th at Station 59 on Bixler from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come visit your firefighters. We'll have some other vendors there as well. And that is my report for the evening.
Any questions for the board? Any public comment with regards to the report? Chief, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very efficient. Appreciate it very much. Is Leah here? Is anybody tonight? Hi, Leah! from Supervisor Burgess's report. I'm sorry, I walked past you. How you doing this evening?
I'm good, thank
you. Good.
Good evening, directors.
No.
Just really quick, I know you guys have more exciting things on your agenda to discuss tonight, but really quickly, the Board of Supervisors heard the Urban Farm Ordinance last month, and the supervisor heard you loud and clear and made the recommendation to have Discovery Bay, as well as for other unincorporated communities, excluded from the ordinance. So I just wanted to let you know that that did take place. We are also, Public Works is going to be doing it the pedestrian crossing enhancement at Discovery Bay Elementary, and that project is scheduled to take place this summer. Hopefully you guys know what that is, but it's a new crosswalk with lights for the kids crossing at the elementary school.
At the existing place where the fire flagpole is, right there?
Yes,
okay.
Correct. And then a few transportation items, the Balfour widening project. Phase two will be from Byron Highway to Sellers, should begin sometime next month or mid-April, depending on weather. So expect probably some delays through that area. And then Byron Highway and Camino Diablo intersection project will be open tomorrow, fingers crossed. We've had a few delays with that due to the railroad and the contractor, but I think we're all systems go now. So hopefully that should be open tomorrow. And Public Works will be out there for the next week or two monitoring that and making any adjustments as necessary. And then also Marsh Creek Road from Camino Diablo to the Clayton city limits, in case there's commuters through that way. Public Works is trimming up trees and vegetation along that road and also doing some shoulder repairs. And that should be going on through March 1st between 8:30 and 4, so you can expect some delays during that time as well. And then the Board of Supervisors at the last meeting appointed a new Health Services Director, Anna Roth, and a new Public Works Director, Brian Balvis. Brian has been with the county for years. He's very familiar with East County and specifically Discovery Bay. He's familiar with the transportation issues out here. So that appointment is exciting. That's a good hire. And then last but not least, Elections Department is looking for paid volunteers to help with the polls of the upcoming election. If you're interested, I encourage you to visit the Elections Department's website, and you can go on there to sign up to be a poll worker. And that's all I have.
Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to presentations. Let's start with representatives here from the Byron Delta Lions Club. Are they here?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we're all here.
I figured you were.
I'd like to introduce Linda Barbara from the Lady Lions. She has a donation for the community center.
I do. Good evening. My name is Linda Barbara from the Byron Delta Lions, and I'm here this evening just to give you a little history on the Lions Club. We are all ladies in our club. We have two Lions clubs in Discovery Bay. The other is the bigger co-ed club. But we're a very active club in our area. We do a lot of community-driven events. We do vision screening for the elementary schools. Now we're branching out to Brentwood. We do the food pantry at St. Anne's and help with food drives as well as the food pantry. We do a baby shower every year for the mothers and the new babies at the hospital in Martinez. So we're all over the place. You don't probably see us very often, but we're everywhere. This is the year for Lions to be celebrating their 100th year of service. This year, the International has asked all clubs to do something for their community, centennial worthy and legacy worthy. Our centennial, we did a huge recycling project, which was quite successful, so that was our centennial. However, our legacy was a little bit harder, being that we're only 75, 50 and over ladies. We didn't want to build a bridge or a building or, you know, get out there and do something a little bit more strenuous. So we put our heads together and we came up with a bench. We'd like to donate, on behalf of Byron Delta Lions, the bench to the town of Discovery Bay to put, by the front door.
No, we're actually going to mount it in the swimming pool area for parents to enjoy.
So they're going to put it in the ground so it doesn't walk away.
Right.
Okay. So, there you are.
Well, can I get all the ladies from the representing Alliance from the stand up for the presentation? Thank you very much for your thoughtfulness. Appreciate it very much. We will gratefully accept your gift.
Thank you.
Okay, and now I would ask the representatives we have here tonight from the Department of Conservation and Development to come up and introduce themselves. Is that proper? Or do you want to?
It's John Kopchak. He's
John. Here he is.
Head of the department.
We're going to invite you more often. We get a crowd when you come on.
Right. Can you hear me okay, or do I need to lift this mic?
I think you're okay.
So you think I'm okay?
Yeah.
Well, I'll say good morning. I feel like I'm on a whirlwind tour of speaking at cannabis meetings. Good evening, directors. I'm really glad to see some of the members of the community came out to hear about this important topic, and hopefully what I can do tonight is answer questions, and we really are seeking input from all the communities throughout the all the unincorporated communities in Contra Costa County. And so we have I think we have something like 30 presentations in 30 evenings, so my colleagues and I are pounding the pavement but eager to, and we keep filling rooms up. Who knew? I think it has something to do maybe with that sign I saw on the way into town as well. That's a good strategy for getting public involvement. So glad everybody's here. I was at Walnut Creek City Council last night, and we're talking to cities as well. It's a very tough issue for people to talk about. Just as a preview, you'll find it was very emotional at Walnut Creek, with some folks really wanting to make sure there was access to medical cannabis, and other people just really passionately not wanting to see it anywhere near their communities, near their children. What I think is the most important thing is to provide clear information. That's what the board is asking for. They've asked me and my colleagues to go out, speak with each of the with representatives of all the communities, and hear what the communities are thinking before we move forward. So again, thank you for the invitation. I'm ready for the PowerPoint show. There's copies of the slides back there. Anybody doesn't have them.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ready?
It's warming up.
Loading.
Mm-hmm.
We debate whether to put the leaf on our materials. I'm sure the clicker works.
Oh, is it on?
Oh, that's right. You were saving batteries. Now it works.
There we go.
So how did we get here? It's important to set the context. So we're really here as a result of the voters of the state approving Prop 64 in 2016. So prior to that, there were a series of laws about medical cannabis that made it legal. But on November 2016, that's when the voters of the state passed the Prop 64, which was related to the adult use of cannabis. And essentially what that made is no longer a crime in California law to possess cannabis or to grow cannabis, and we've debated about whether to call it marijuana or cannabis, so most government agencies are calling it cannabis now, so I think you can use those terms somewhat interchangeably. Indoor personal grow is guaranteed by Prop 64, so even if a local jurisdiction like the county or a city want to say you can't grow it inside your house, we're prevented. The Prop 64 guarantees that right. But what local government can control under Prop 64 is whether there are commercial uses in their jurisdiction. So are there going to be, I'll call them grows or farms, to be sold, stores to that will sell, or manufacturing. People want to buy tinctures and oils and edibles and these kinds of things. Those commercial uses is really what I'm talking about, as well as outdoor personal cultivation. So what the county has had for a long time, basically a prohibition on all cannabis uses. And that still is in effect. And in fact, we, in October of this past year, and I'll have a slide, we basically turned a temporary urgency ordinance that prohibited all commercial cannabis into a permanent ordinance while we figure out what we do. And so when Prop 64 passed, local governments up and down the state are scrambling like, okay, the voters just gave us a new mandate. Do you want to allow commercial cannabis or not? And what the state law says is there's a dual permitting process. So the state will regulate all these commercial businesses, but only in jurisdictions that also say okay. So if you're a jurisdiction that says no, the state can't give any licenses. If you're a jurisdiction that says conditionally yes, there's dual regulations. There's local regulation and state regulation. And so the question before us is now, should the county say, continue to say no, or should we open it up, and if so, how? And I'll get to some specific questions for you. Again, and I can't tell you how many times I complete a presentation and somebody in the audience comes up to me and says, I want a license, when can I, you know, I want to apply for it now. And I say, did you see the word prohibit 16 times in my slide? We prohibit all of this and always have. So you can't unless and until the rules change. So this table, I wouldn't pay attention to the words so much as the color. These slides are going to kind of build to some maps. So I think most people, you know, what's interesting, and it was at Walnut Creek City Council last night, somebody said, you know, 60-some-odd percent of the citizens of Walnut Creek voted for Prop 64, but when I talked to all my neighbors, none of them want it in my neighborhood. So where's the rub on that? And I think it is largely that people view it differently about the commercial use than they do. I mean, I think when people voted, I shouldn't get into why people voted for Prop 64, because that's what I heard for 3 hours last night. But the challenge is that what Prop 64 did is say, local governments, you figure out what you want to do. And so what I really want to do is build to a series of maps that show what the board is currently considering countywide. So the board reacted to all this. We've met a number of times, and the board has come up with a preliminary framework, which is basically like a draft game plan. And I have copies of it, and I'll be available at the end of the meeting for anybody that wants one, but this PowerPoint show more or less covers it. There's yellow highlighting all throughout, like, huh, should we have caps on the number of these things? Should we allow personal outdoor grow? It's really meant as this is a conceptual idea. We wanna now bring it out to the public and see what they say. And so that's really what we're doing. And so the maps, you know, there's no other better way to generate interest than to put out draft maps. So we'll get there. What these tables show is what kind of zoning is where. And so if you look at the different colors in the different colored rows, those are going to represent categories of zoning. So again, zoning are the areas where we said, okay, certain land uses. So green is going to represent agricultural zoning districts. Yellow are P1 or planned unit. Retail business is red. General commercial is gold. And the purple is our type industrial type zoning districts. And the three columns to the right of that are all in the cultivation arena. And so there's artificial light, which means like in a warehouse with light bulbs. Mixed light means maybe it's in a greenhouse, but they also have light bulbs and shade. And so it's kind of a mix of natural and artificial. And natural light means either in a greenhouse or outdoor, but no light bulbs. And what you see in the cells, basically, if it's colored green instead of gray or has a color in it, then that means under our draft framework, we're contemplating that might be allowed. So for agricultural zoning districts, we're contemplating that might be allowed. Each cell says with a land use permit. I can't emphasize that enough. It's not would be allowed wherever it's green. It's could be allowed if someone comes in and goes through the difficult process of getting a conditional use permit. And so for every single commercial use that we're contemplating, it would be a discretionary permit where the county would have it would go through a planning commission process and get input from the municipal advisory committees or from the town of Discovery Bay in your case, and go through our normal process for when anybody wants to build anything, and then would have the discretion to say no to any of that. So I'm going slow. I will speed up, I promise. The next series of columns that just appeared relate to basically processing and distribution. So you can see as it goes forward, like if you look at agriculture, we're considering manufacturing is the middle column there. And that would mean, that's because in our agricultural zoning, we already allow canneries and things that turn crops into other, you know, some sort of marketable product. And so we are considering agriculture, for instance, agricultural zoning is a place that someone could grow and then possibly process, but not a distribution center. And so that's what this, if you get too wound up in the Swiss cheese, I think it will overwhelm you. We'll get to the maps, it'll be more clear, but this will be a key to the maps. The third column is sales. So we have basically two types of sales that will be considered. One is retail delivery only. So it would be, say, a business that located in a warehouse in the unincorporated area, but didn't sell to anybody, just did delivery. And the other would be a storefront that was, and these aren't like cannabis can't be sold at Safeway. It has to be sold in a designated type of store. And I won't call it dispensary, although that's the normal word, but I think dispensary, it has traditionally meant medical marijuana. This would be a different kind of store that just sold cannabis and cannabis products. An important note, and I already talked to your town manager beforehand, is if you look at the bottom, if you people have paper copies of it, you'll see that there's some notes and it says new consideration and limitations by use. And if you look under retail sales, it says only within ULL. ULL means urban limit line. So we have a number of places in the county where there are some antiquated, where there's zoning for things that have been there for a really long time that might be light industrial out in your farmlands. And so it might be mapped purple, but because it's outside the urban limit line, we wouldn't be contemplating retail delivery there. All right, ready for some maps? Okay, so again, we have the ban sign there. County currently prohibits all commercial uses. The same chart I just went through is at the bottom. It's kind of the key to understanding this map. So the green that covers a large part of the county is just, that basically is our ag zoning. That's where our ag zoning is. The purple is the industrial zoning. You see it up in, let's see if this pointer works. It won't work on that. All right. Well, you see the purple. That's up, you know, in the around Martinez and near Crockett. It's much harder to see the yellow, red, and gold because it's so small. And I will zoom in on Discovery Bay, but we wanted to give you kind of this county-wide context first and show you how these maps get generated. So again, these areas are just eligibility areas. If we go forward, someone would have to apply for a permit, and we could reject the permit. And the different cells tell you which type of uses would be allowed where. I'll get to in a second that green is really much bigger than commercial cannabis could really be in terms of cultivation. So the next thing we did, and the maps are sort of too small, but little dots appeared on this map when I clicked that button, and those are sensitive sites. So we mapped every school, library, park, and homeless shelter, and drug rehab center in the county, in the cities. We mapped every single one, and then we buffered that 1,000 feet. Because that's, the board is considering what, if we're gonna have these uses, that we want 1,000-foot buffers. So those dark areas that showed up, those are the 1,000-foot buffers. The way that zoning code works is the 1,000-foot buffers, if it touches any portion of a parcel, then that whole parcel is not eligible. So when you do that, those 1,000-foot buffers get a lot bigger, because it touches any one of those buffers. Then we also are, the board is considering 500-foot buffers around residential zoning districts. And so that kind of medium color gray, I just went backwards and forwards, that medium color gray is a 500-foot buffer around all the residential areas. And so the size of the buffers, which uses to allow, all this is on the table. I'm just, we have a proposal to try and generate a reaction. But the idea is if we went with those buffers, anything that got, any of those colors that got covered up by those buffers, that would not be eligible to even apply. So again, I mentioned that things outside the urban limit line wouldn't be available for like retail sales, not allowed outside the urban limit line. So you see, when I go backwards, all the colors got muted outside the urban limit line. So all those areas are outside the urban limit line. There'd be no retail sales, no distribution, none of those things. And so that makes this map kind of tricky. So when I get to the Discovery Bay map, they'll say, but wait a minute, there's a little red and a little purple. But that's because they could grow on those areas, but they couldn't sell. If we passed it the way it's kind of outlined now. So moving along, the other really important concept that a lot of jurisdictions are embracing and definitely is something that our board is considering is we don't usually regulate land use by saying, okay, you know, we're going to have 20 restaurants in the county, that's it, no more. Basically, we react to applications. And if the market says we need 21 restaurants, we'll permit a 21st if it fits the zoning and all that. With commercial cannabis, for the first time, we might just set a limit and say, okay, like Alameda County, I think they have 5 commercial cannabis grows that they're contemplating in the whole county. So they set a limit of 5, and then they go through a discretionary process and they say yes or no until they got 5 and then they're done. So we're considering whether to set limits on each of these categories and what those limits should be. Should they be really small, like 2 stores in the whole county? Should it be bigger? I mean, that's something we'll be giving the board some advice on because there's studies that show, you know, like how many, if your goal is to make cannabis more available but not have it too widespread, you know, maybe you need 1 per 30 or 60, I'm making the numbers up, but there, you know, we could come up with that kind of ratio and figure out how many we would need. But caps is the key thing we're seeking input on. Like, should we have them? What should they be? Most jurisdictions struggle to say what they should be because, you know, it's a countywide thing, but we'll take whatever input we can get. Also, just again for perspective, I promised that I would explain that green area is big. So what we're talking about, cannabis is a really densely grown, and I know way more about this than I ever thought I would. And I went on a tour of a facility in Oakland. And I mean, this has grown really densely. And so the commercial cultivation statewide, currently the limit is 1 acre. That's the most you can grow outdoor, 22,000 square feet, which is half an acre indoor. That will grow to I think 2 acres later. But what we say in our framework is that we would cap it at 22,000 or 2. Those numbers could change. But for comparison, all that green area on the map, I'm just gonna roughly guess is maybe 100,000 acres. So we're talking about a commercial grow of 2 acres. And to give you a sense of scale, there's that little green box that showed up that says 20 acres next to it. That's how big 20 acres is on this map. And so that's already 10 times bigger than the grow area that would be allowed per grow. I'm not trying to sell you on it. I'm just trying to give you a sense of context because I've noticed the way people react to maps and the green area looks like, wow, it's going to be cannabis from here to here. No, it couldn't be. So zooming in on Discovery Bay. I can't point to anything, but you basically you're surrounded by agricultural zoning lands. So all of those lands would be theoretically eligible for grow. And you have a couple of, like you have the, is it called the Aloha Bar? I don't know the name.
Yeah, it's kind of the Borden Junction here.
And then you have the concrete yard, and then the other kind of industrial area. So Aloha Bar is the red square at the corner in the road, and the concrete yard is the gold rectangle higher up on the corner, and then the purple triangle is another kind of a light industrial area. All these are kind of old uses that existed before the urban limit line. So those areas are that color, but because they're outside the urban limit line, they could only do the things that agricultural zoning could do, like grow. So under the way the board has constructed it, there couldn't be, if we went that way, and you could certainly give us feedback, if you said, no, we really want there to be a store there or not, we would appreciate that input. But under the way we've constructed it, those areas would not be eligible for any kind of sales. So if I now apply the buffers, this is the 1,000 feet around the sensitive uses, so around the schools, parks, libraries. That's the black area. And then if I add a residential buffer, so basically all of Discovery Bay is in a buffer. And there's the 20-acre rectangle is now a little bit bigger, but you see the green thing on the side in the legend, that's how big 20 acres is. So again, the maximum size we're talking about is 1/10 that size.
And that's per individual permit?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct, thank you. Not a cumulative. But again, we could have a cumulative cap and say, okay, we're only gonna do 5 or 10 or 20.
I mean, they could be adjoining 2-acre parcels, and then they would become a large area.
Theoretically, and that would be good input if you thought that was a concern. We welcome, like, you know, we were also contemplating, I should mention, having setback buffers between each one, like no commercial.
So many within a 20-acre area or
something like that, or a radius, yeah.
Okay.
Again, we haven't gotten into all the details yet, but enough to kind of like prompt the dialogue. Anybody want to ask questions about the map now, or you want me to finish the presentation, Mr. President?
I would just move forward.
Yeah, we'll do. In addition to a zoning regulation that would determine where things could or could not be, our health services department, we have an interdepartmental team that's been meeting on this every other month, and it includes the DA, the sheriff, health department, the tax collector, the ag department, the county administrator, all of us. And the health department has been really active in tobacco regulations, trying to make sure that tobacco doesn't find its way into the hands of minors. And so the health department is very eager that the county, if we go forward at all, adopt a health ordinance that would have probably somewhat parallel set of regulations that the state would have to make sure that the health and safety of the products could be insured for the public, but also maybe measures on the types of products sold in order to try to keep it out of the hands of kids, because there are some, like in tobacco, that are, you know, like gummies or things like that, that might appeal to kids or adults. But, you know, that's something they're looking at as well, as to whether to ban certain types of products. Okay, so costs and revenue. This is an important part of the presentation. The text is way too small, so I'll just summarize. So we're trying to figure out the costs. And cost is a really tricky issue, because there's existing costs. There's cannabis throughout the county, black market. There's plenty of cannabis grows throughout the county. We do some code enforcement work, but a lot of it goes unreported. But there is an existing expense. But an additional question is if we regulate commercial cannabis, we're gonna have additional costs. Now, our permitting and enforcement costs, we would expect to charge that to the applicants. But there might be other costs as well. You know, will we be having additional use? Will that mean additional drug treatment centers? Will we need additional law enforcement? And so the board is interested in those costs and interested in ways to try and recover costs beyond just permit fees. So the county has been considering a tax initiative that would tax the different commercial uses. Basically, the board is considering all of them: a tax on cultivation, a tax on sales, a tax on manufacturing, and it's a whole bunch of different amounts, and we had a consultant do a study. And that study found that it could generate, I think fairly conservatively, but a big range, $1 to $10 million a year, which for background is not a huge amount of money countywide. The county's overall budget is something like $3.3 billion, so this is not a huge amount of money. But that's what the consultant thought we could make based on different assumptions about how many businesses we permitted and what tax rate we chose. And there hasn't been a huge discussion yet, but that's something you could provide input on, is what would you do with the money? But in part, I think the idea is to cover the costs of the whole endeavor. And a key concept that our board has endorsed, and this one I think I really want to stress, is that if we go forward, we would bring a tax measure to the voters of the unincorporated communities in the county in November of this year, and we would link the regulations to the passage of that measure. So that if the board went forward with adopting regulations that would allow certain types of commercial cannabis, so that's an if right there, the board has said that what they're interested in doing then would be to say those regulations are basically on hold and will only come into effect if the voters approve the tax measure. The voters reject the tax measure and the regulations go away. There would still be a prohibition.
So that's the trigger, is whether the tax measure is approved.
That's what we're looking at as the trigger.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you for summarizing more clearly than I did. There's the trigger, right? The intent is the commercial cannabis ordinance would only take effect if and when a tax initiative is passed by the voters. And again, the voters of the unincorporated area. So what's the schedule? I mean, I think the main point is you see there's a black line across the top, which is our prohibition on cannabis. That goes on forever unless it's superseded by new laws. The middle three bar, the series of bars, the red color, the green color, and the blue color describe the parallel work we need to do on the zoning ordinance, the tax measure ordinance, and the health ordinance, and all those things kind of culminate with a decision this summer by the board. But we'd have to go on the zoning side, we have to go through the planning commission, around late spring of this year. And then the vote would be, as proposed now, November of 2016. And right now, the months of February and March is public outreach. I mentioned the slog we're going through. Mm-hmm. This is a really good time to get, this is the public outreach focus. We've had a lot of public input so far, but this is the time when we're going out to the community and saying, okay, we have this draft idea, what do you think? And so that's where we stand in the process. The type of input we're seeking, and I think, you might leave this slide up as you deliberate, because we would really welcome your line-by-line feedback on these four questions. You're welcome to give us all kinds of feedback, but these in particular questions would be helpful. So, and what some municipal advisory committees and CSD such as you have gone through each one and kind of talked about it and then made a motion, or however you want to communicate to us, we would appreciate. But the first question is, what's your overall reaction to the framework? Is it good, bad, terrible? The next is the buffers I showed, the dark gray and the medium gray buffers for 1,000 feet for around the sensitive sites and 500 feet around residential. Those too big, too small, didn't buffer enough facilities. We may need to buffer daycares, which is not in our map because the state law, I think, deals with daycares, but that's a detail we haven't dealt with yet, but feedback you have on that would be most appreciated. Caps. Should we have caps? Is that an important thing? Or should we let the market regulate it? Or should we just set some either interim caps? Interim caps meaning, should we say, well, for the first few years, let's set really low caps so that we can get the hang of this thing and make sure we have the staff to regulate? And that, so should we have those, which I will say staff will be recommending. And should we have ultimate caps? Like, okay, we should never have more than 1, 2, 3, 6, 8 stores in the whole county. Should we have a cap? And then finally, and this is a difficult one, I think, and Walnut Creek spent a lot of time on this last night, outdoor personal grow. I mentioned already that indoor personal grow, the state, we can't prohibit it. So we've prohibited everything we can, basically, under our current code, but we can't prohibit indoor personal grow of up to 6 plants. We can put limitations on that, so it has to be in a secure location, it has to be done with proper building code, if it's a rental property, it needs the owner's permission, but beyond that, we can't really control. Also, I should mention that a greenhouse, an accessory structure outside of the main dwelling, would count as indoor personal grow. So if someone has a greenhouse in their backyard and it's secured, that is legal, and we can't prevent that. The question is, and we hear this from folks, it's hard to grow indoor. I don't want to wreck my house. I don't want to use the light bulbs. I just want to put it in my garden. And should we do that? And then the reaction we hear is, it's smelly at certain times of the year. It's a security risk. It might get in the hands of the children. These are the kind of, that's the trade-offs that are we hear about. So those are, let me make sure that's the last one, yeah. So those are the four, and with your permission, I'll leave that slide up when I'm done for you to deliberate. Finally, for just to get kind of the contact information out there, I'm actually not the point person on cannabis for the county. I feel like I know enough to be the point person, but Ruben Hernandez knows even more than I do. He's making other presentations right now. But Ruben is, it has our website address, but if you just Google Contra Costa Cannabis, you get to the page, it has Ruben's contact information, has the framework, it has all this stuff, and it has a way to complete a survey. So for those who are interested, I have copies of both this short survey that basically repeats the four questions I put on this slide, but it's something you can mail into us or hand me tonight, or you can fill it in online. And so for those who are interested in the audience, I have copies both of our 10-page framework that basically repeats what I just said, but in typewritten, and I have copies of the survey. So with that, I will pause and see if there are questions.
I have a point of clarification that maybe I missed it with all that information that was coming my direction, but you said that the vote in November is for unincorporated areas only. Is that what you said?
That is what I said.
And why is it that the residents of the cities aren't voting?
They wouldn't be paying the tax. We would only be taxing businesses in the unincorporated area of the county. So we would only be asking the voters of the unincorporated area of the county.
So if a city wanted to open a store, they could, and then it would be their issue, and you would have no...
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I should mention...
Understood. I just want to make sure...
Can I use that as...
Since that affects us so much here.
Yes. Yeah. Can I use that as a segue just to make clear for those in the audience
Please
that
do.
There are 19 cities in the county, and they're all doing the same thing. You know, many of them have prohibited. Walnut Creek last night made a decision to allow to delivery only, medical marijuana only businesses. I mean, not to write an ordinance that would allow that, but everybody's doing their own. The county doesn't get to tell the cities what to do, and the cities don't get to tell the county what to do.
But we get to give the county input as to what our desires are of our local jurisdiction.
Most appreciated.
Okay, any clarification from the board at this point?
Sure. Just for the record, I believe you mentioned that the vote in November at 2016.
Did I say the wrong date?
I believe you did.
Okay.
Just for the record,
yes.
I'm sure you meant.
I meant November of 2016. What did you think?
2018.
Oh, I see. So there's two different votes. There was the passage of Prop 64 in November of 2016. But the vote that we would be in the future would be this November of 2018. Thank you for
And I do that just for the record. It is recorded.
I appreciate that.
And one question is, does this conflict, I know Prop 64, does it conflict with federal law?
Yes. I mean, I think that there's certainly tension, and jurisdictions throughout the state are coping with that. But the Controlled Substances Act, the federal law, lists cannabis as a controlled substance. And there has been, and that's a whole other discussion that I'm probably not qualified to lead too much into, but that's something that local jurisdictions are grappling with. And it's been ever since California started in the 90s to have medical cannabis laws, there's been a tension or a conflict with the federal law, and it exists now. And Attorney General Sessions released a memo that kind of heightened the confusion about that, because there had been a detente where the federal government had said don't prosecute as long as they're so well regulated, and now Attorney General Sessions left it up to prosecutorial discretion. So it is a gray area.
So that would lead to another question that says, I think you've done a good job, thorough job of looking through all of the details from start to finish. Have you planned or have you thought through the federal aspect of it?
We are just, yes, a bit. And I can't show, we've certainly talked with internal counsel about this and tried to get guidance. And, you know, it's something that the California State Association of Counties is working on. And so all the counties are kind of coming to, it hasn't stopped other counties, I guess I would say, but it's something that I expect our board will ask detailed questions about, and I will be turning to our county council to answer.
Question, John. On the map that you showed of Discovery Bay,
yes.
The yellow line is the urban limit line. Is that?
I will go back to
that would probably be.
Okay.
So
the urban limit line is the yellow line.
Correct.
Currently.
So under the what you've described tonight, everything within that yellow line, there would be a prohibition under your proposal.
No, the opposite. No. Under the proposal we have, the fact that you have the purple, gold, and red blobs outside the urban limit line means that those purple, red, and gold blobs would not be eligible to do the intensive commercial uses like sales.
Right.
Because they could do cultivation, but not sales. The reason that there's no areas that are colored green or any other permissive color, I guess there's one little patch there right at the corner there at the screen, but is because it doesn't have compatible zoning or it's has a buffer.
So there would be no retail sales anywhere within that yellow wall?
I think anywhere on this whole map.
On that whole map, yes. Okay, no retail sales.
Yeah, and
the question is where could possibly there be grow up, commercial growth?
Anywhere on the map that's not gray.
Gotcha.
Could be grow.
Could be grow.
Grow. And it, and that would be...
And manufacture, if it was grown and manufactured on the same site. And now, again, this is under the proposal we're looking at now.
And is that ag core areas included?
Ag core areas would be included, no.
So, John, I'm not sure you can answer this, but if the, the $1 to $10 million that the county would take in potential taxing, how much of that would Discovery Bay see?
I can't answer that. I mean, I think it would be, it depends on whether the board structures it as a special tax, which would mean it would dedicate the funding to a certain type, or a general tax, which would mean that there would be more discretion in how it's spent. And even then, even if it was a special tax, the board, it would be dedicated to certain purposes, but it would not be geographically dialed in.
No, I would wait for the vote.
Okay, just one other question. Because we are, I mean, we have very limited latent powers here in Discovery Bay, but primarily we're a water district, and that's our largest provision we make for our constituents, is providing water for them and taking care of wastewater. But based on all the buffers, it looks like there would really not be any areas really within our jurisdiction that we would have to provide water for anything like that.
Does your jurisdiction kind of correspond roughly with your limit line?
Yes,
I would concur.
Except for that one little corner by Centex.
Yes, I an important note is if on the when I showed all the footnotes at the bottom of the table, one thing, let me go back a couple maps.
Because water is such a huge issue.
Water is a huge issue, and with cannabis as well. So you see we have those green areas. I don't know if people know where Discovery Bay is. You can sort of see the pattern of the...
Yeah, it's open. It's right here.
Thank you. So, you know, most of the green areas just to the west of Discovery Bay, that's the ag core that you mentioned. That's prime cultivated farmland. It's in irrigation districts, and there's row crops. But a lot of the green areas farther west, that's basically hills. You know, that's the Tassajara Valley. Those are dry areas. They're ranch lands. And so one of the footnotes that we included in this big table, I hesitate to go back this far, but said eligible but needs to demonstrate a sustainable water supply. And so one of the things that's being contemplated is, should we allow groundwater to be the source of water? You guys,
yes, the 100% groundwater.
100% groundwater, and you share a groundwater basin with many other, and so, but a lot of the areas of the county in particular, the groundwater is overdrafted, and if cannabis moves in, will that, so that's a question we'd appreciate input on as well, because, I mean, I don't know that there will be enough draw from the number of commercial cannabis farmers that we would permit in the county that it would affect your water table, but I mean, one thing we're definitely thinking about is whether to say you need a supply of irrigation or domestic water, and you have to demonstrate it's sustainable, and that you're not, you know,
without impact to existing
to neighbors or other people.
That would be obviously a main concern.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? At this point, I would, John, if I could,
can I put the
please get back to the question.
Your way,
Council. Council. Yes. I'm going to ask you to step aside and ask for public comment.
Please.
Sorry.
Excellent idea.
Done looking. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, John. If you just hang around, obviously, but. At this point, I would like to open the microphone up to public comment. I believe I received two speaker cards. So first, I would call up Enlon Hay, and did I say that correctly? And I believe I have an interpreter that is also going to come forward. Is that correct?
Yes.
Please come to the microphone. The way this works is you have 3 minutes to speak. We have a light system here that's green when you start. It goes to yellow, and that's what's a 30-second. And then when it turns red, hopefully you will be done, and hopefully you won't have to use all your green.
Real quick, I'm a translator of this lady.
Agenda item is what this
is. H-E. Last year they bought a piece of land, 400 acres.
Okay, sir, you're gonna address the board. Come back this way, because actually,
look at me.
Stand in front of and address us, if you would.
So this family, basically, they emigrated from China, and they started from peasants, and made their business, successful business in China, you know, doing this development in the last 20 years. So they brought money, they want to invest it, and they go through the immigration process, the immigration promotions for people who have wants to invest in the local community. So they decided to invest the farming business. So in this case, they are want to contribute it to community. It's kind of talking to them privately yesterday. They have a big family, they live here and they live in Sacramento. They have a lot of project plan. They want to be sure in the future, sooner, get a temporary permit if possible. Even though they don't understand all of our materials, but I translate as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the just want to ask the board, council, and all the peoples and support the American dream. They want to do a good business, not just that this farming of marijuana or plantation. It's also not an idea. Hey, look at Mama, how they started. Why? Us become a tourist and making the same things. They have a huge plan. They want to do good. They want to have a community and local people support them, and they already bought land. They need to do to go for it because everything's ready. Is that 3 minutes yet?
No.
Good. Good. So I hope I can introduce clearly. So general idea is they migrated here and two years ago, and they have a lot of connection. They want to bring the money to invest to the community that needed it because they know the school needed it. Our department, local community, and they want to do good. They just have determination. So I want to translate for private translators. We can talk about afterwards. She has a dream, I guess. She's American. she's very interested in that. She's the private translator. Okay. Oh yeah, she said this is my second home, even though she grew up in China, but she was from peasant, very poor family, but you know, because China was growing fast, so they made a good business. Real estate, farming. So they want to continue to do that in the United States. Oh, okay. Okay, she said okay, she said under this Prop 64, a new things, this is new business, new for America. They want to continue contribution to make good for this. That's what she said.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, we thank you very much for the presentation and wish you the best with your endeavors. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. There's some cookies, you probably.
Are they special or?
Yeah.
What kind of cookies?
Yeah. We have edibles in the house or what tonight? And then secondly, I have Chris Gunnenberg. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
How you doing, Chris?
How's it going?
Good.
I'm new to the community.
Okay.
I lived here about 6 months and actually seen the sign tonight and figured I would show up and just kind of talk for a second.
Okay.
So quick background on me, served in the United States Army. I'm medically discharged, PTSD, and Crohn's disease. The answer to fix that when I first got out was oxycodones, and we all know what oxycodones are. And I see the word cannabis being brought up, and I hear the gas, and I see the size, and it's not in my community. But I don't see that when I see people at Safeway buying 4 or 5 bottles of tequila. The cannabis is in your community. It's already there. People are treating themselves. The best way to keep it safe is to control it and regulate it and stop pushing against it. I would rather have a safe community where I can regulate it and I know, and I have kids. I have an 11-year-old, I have a 4-year-old, and I have another kid on the way. And I want them to be just as safe. And they all know about cannabis, and they're all taught that, and they're all taught properly. So, you know, we can do one of two things. We can push back and bring the black market in and continuously make this something we can't regulate, or we can say, hey, it's commercial agricultural crop, just like oranges, just like apples, just like anything else, but let's find a way to make it work. It's pretty sad that when you have people in the Discovery Bay Country Club, and I know them, that have PTSD, ghost syndrome, and they have to drive all the way to Stockton, and they have to drive all the way to Oakland to go get their medicine. Or they can drink themselves asleep, because I know a couple of veterans that do that. They go down to the local Safeway, and they drink themselves asleep. And sometimes when you drink and you have PTSD, bad, ugly things happen. right? Unfortunately, that's just the part of it. But with cannabis, we have not seen this. There's a lot of test studies out there, and there's more to come. I understand it's federally not legal. And, you know, the good thing is we got California as a state supporting us, with Oregon and Washington back in California. So everybody's working together as a community to figure out how this is going to work. I'll leave you with this, you know. You look at it this way. I always use this theory. I have a daughter, and the guy pulls up on a motorcycle, and I tell her, there's no way you're going to go out with that guy. Absolutely not. And I push, and I push, and I push to try to keep her away from him. First thing she does is she goes out with him. Or I can embrace the theory, give her the pros and cons, let her experience it, be there to support her, and then let her find that out on her own, and most likely, she's not going to go to that guy. So all that we're asking for as a community is we're not criminals, we're not all dreadlocks, and we're not all trying to bring the community down. We're trying to do something good. You see the revenue, 1 to 10, the guy couldn't say what, but put it back in the schools. And I guarantee you, every cannabis user in this room, every cannabis user you talk to, is okay with giving the money back. Put it in the schools. Put it in the roadways. We don't care what you do with the money. We'll give you the money to support the community. That's what we're here for. Just asking for a little bit of help. You know, and I won't say what company, but I've worked for two lawn and garden companies. One, a $2.2 billion company. You figure out who that is. And now another one. They're on board. Support us. That's all we're asking for. A little bit of support and control.
Okay. Well, and I thank you for your service. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I would, as a point of...
One more speaker card, please?
Oh, sure.
Cool, thank you.
I got somebody else ahead of you.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Okay. You got two.
No problem. I did, but another one came up.
Okay, cool.
So, as a point of order, folks, when you come to the podium, there's a reason it's facing that way. Please stand on that side of the podium and direct your comments to the board of directors. I know it seems rude to the rest of the room, but that's just the way it works. So, Bill Helfrich. Bill, did you have something you wanted to say on the subject?
My question is, this proposal and discussion is about growing, distributing, and sales. What about the actual use, regulation of the use, like at the yacht club? Is the county have any ordinances about the stuff can be used, or any help in that direction? And I was hoping there was he had some help on that. So is there a way to get information on that?
We will make a note of that question and see if we can come up with an answer for you.
All right.
Appreciate that.
Last answer?
Brian! I'm sorry, I meant to walk back and forth, but come on up and talk to us.
President, board, I didn't really have anything prepared. I just got a couple of quick notes. I just wanted to reiterate what John said, in case anyone was confused. I think the plan is for the permit fees to cover enforcement for safe commercial operations. So your tax dollars shouldn't be going to code enforcement. Additional code enforcement shouldn't be going to these commercial operations. It should all be self-sustaining and self-policed by the dollars. Can I ask John a question? Is this a good time for questions? Or?
Leave your
question. Yeah, Mr. Chair.
You can leave your question with us, and we'll try to do the best answer.
I believe the Department of Agriculture will protect the farmland from damage and pollution from growth. That's how the state has it planned out right now. If that was anyone's concern. I just wanted to reiterate that the board's position on this matter tonight pertaining to Discovery Bay, or does the board's position on this tonight only pertain to Discovery Bay's residential zone, or does your vote impact the agriculture zones around us? I believe it does, so just please take that into consideration. We've got a robust ag zone around us, lots of water, lots of farmland, and lots of usable land. My question is, if the county is going to move forward with this, would it make sense for a fairly robust permitting process to maximize funds available for enforcement, also to maximize tax revenue? And then just to clear up a concern, you guys spoke about the water concern. Most of the green area on the maps is covered by BCCID, which has a pre-1911 agreement. It pulls much water out of it and uses it as they like forever. could take into consideration and add them around, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Brian. I appreciate it. Heather.
Hi, my name is Heather Adam, and I'm just wondering if there has been any consideration taken to the possibility of the buffer zone, including something that covers the nuisance smell during harvest. I have some friends that live up in Georgetown, and they tell me it's really potent when it's harvest time, and I personally don't like the smell, so I don't know if that's been taken into consideration during
the visit. I appreciate that. I'm sure the county's taking note of that, that's a good point. Thank you very much. Okay, those are all the speaker cards I have, but that does not preclude anybody from coming up and speaking without presenting a speaker card. So if there's any other comments, I would ask you to come up in an orderly fashion and present them to the board. Is there anybody else that'd like to say anything on the subject? Okay, hearing none, I will close public comment. Board. Yes.
John, can I ask you a quick question? I know you've got a large task force that's looking at this issue for on a countywide basis for the unincorporated area. I would be curious as to the issues that have been brought forward by code enforcement, by the health department, and by the sheriff's office on this issue. Do they have something that we could look at that could be shared?
Yes, so attached to the framework the framework is the 10-page document, the series of maps, and the attachment 2 is a report by the Health Services Department, which includes a bunch of information about studies of Colorado and other areas that have, moved into adult use sooner than California. So on the health side, I would point you there. It's a nice they have a summary and then a million attachments. So a lot that you need to know. The code enforcement works with us in conservation and development. And I think that they, in general, we don't, around the harvest time, which is, I think, often, it depends on if it's a completely outdoor grow, it's in the fall, like early August, September, we do get complaints and it's very hard to process that. Because our code enforcement process has a lot of due diligence involved in it, and that can be frustrating for our staff because they'll issue a notice of violation, but it starts a process, and by the time that process wraps up, harvest is happening.
Exactly.
And so that is a challenge. And I think that, did my answer your question? Are you asking, are they favoring
or against? No. I was just curious. I would assume that they have given you their thoughts and ideas and what's good and what's bad and how this might work. And if it's in that, if I go to that website and see it, that's
And I think, if you're looking at kind of the origin of the policy, on our website, it has the history of the board's discussion. And I think the first time we went to the board was maybe April of 2017. And we had a very detailed PowerPoint show that sort of said, okay, board, here's three options. You basically ban everything, kind of a medium option and a more aggressive option. And it had a bunch of tables that described the pros and cons. Like, okay, if you allow commercial cultivation, what are the societal impacts that would be good and what are the societal impacts would be bad? And so and that's the collective thinking of our department and sheriff and the other departments. It's not, it's summarized in a table format. So it's not like a treatise you could read, but it provides some information about those trade-offs that you're getting at.
And I guess what's your drop dead date in terms of receiving comments from the county discovery day?
Well, tonight?
I don't think I can give that to you today.
Yeah,
I just saw this tonight, and I'd like to go to that website and see what's there.
So. Right.
Now, if given that,
yeah,
what do you think?
There is no, we'll take the input when we can get it. We're planning to go back to the board tentatively on March 20th with the status report on the public outreach, and then again in April. And then the ordinance will, we won't be bringing ordinance to the Planning Commission until May. And then the board won't make a decision until July. So, with anything, the earlier you make your input, the more influence you will have. But if you have to balance that with wanting to make a more considered amount of input. So, but the sooner the better.
Yeah, I don't think I'm prepared.
Mr. President, if I might as well. So we had this on the agenda as a presentation. So you've received the presentation. You do not have an action or discussion item on the agenda. You are able to discuss any item that's on the agenda, but in terms of taking action, right, as we do when we get these referrals from the county, in terms of land use decisions, the McDonald's was the most recent one that just came before you. We need to agendize that, and as the members indicating, they need to go do some additional research. That, however, does not prevent individual board members from identifying themselves as a member of the public, not representing the town of Discovery Bay, and submitting whatever comments you want.
Okay. Thank you for that, Councilor. There was a comment with regards to public use, i.e. the yacht club. Can you address that, please?
Yeah, I feel that I should be able to provide a better answer, but this is outside my expertise. In general, the county has, I don't know exactly what state law says, but there's a fairly broad latitude to use cannabis in public spaces. I don't know the exact latitude. There are secondhand smoke provisions that apply to tobacco for the county also apply to cannabis. So any place that you can't. So I don't have a great answer for
okay.
that.
That's fine.
I will also say that we are a social host ordinance. We're wanting to update that, and that describes what you. I think we'll get to some of the and we. Describes when you can serve alcohol at certain types of events, and we're going to be updating that to include cannabis the same.
There's an interesting, glad you should say that, because you have a situation like the yacht club where a good portion of the social activity that occurs there is going to the bar and having a drink, but yet your having a drink doesn't have an effect on the person next to you because it's the smoke issue, right? So you're saying that as far as you think at this point, indoor smoking of cannabis would not be allowed and within 20 feet of an entrance, just like you would be with cigarette smoke. Is
correct.
That
you okay. can't smoke anywhere where you can't smoke cannabis anywhere where you can't thing. Smoke tobacco.
Okay.
And that includes certain multifamily dwellings too.
Sure. It's all that secondhand smoke rules and figures. Thank you, John, for that. Appreciate it. Any other questions for John while he's up?
So just one question. If we agendize this, are we going to see John come back? So that during the discussion, we can ask more questions.
Either me or somebody on my team would be here for sure.
Thank you for your support on that, John. Yeah. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Any other comments from the board?
No, I guess we'll wait till it's agendized to make comments.
Okay. Well, then, thank you for your presentation and thank you for your input, staff as well as the public. Okay, moving to item F, unfortunately Bernie with Veolia Water is taking a well-needed vacation, I believe, and will not be here to make his presentation tonight, but he will...
Just in case, you want to take a couple minute break, everybody's going to get up and leave.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
Just as a recommendation.
So you're... Because if you don't want to talk about letterhead, I mean...
See you later.
The exciting topic of letterhead. Bring the meeting back to order, please. Okay, as I said, we are going to postpone the Veolia Water meeting presentation until next meeting because our operator is visiting his family, I believe. So we'll move on to G1. Discussion and possible action with regards to the 20th anniversary of the Town of Discovery Bay staff.
Yes, the Town of Discovery Bay turns 20 July 1st of this year, and we have some information on recognizing that event, and I would like to bring Sue up, who's worked very hard on this, to give you a presentation, and we're going to ask for a decision as well, several decisions.
Okay, so this is a few of the visual parts that we put together for some of the planning that we've done so far. So, from the beginning. Okay. Oh, first of all, we were deciding on or wanted to make sure that June the 23rd is the date that was chosen and that would work. And then here are a couple of logo options. the color and with that. The green, the emerald is the green is, or emerald color is actually the color of the 20th anniversary. So that's why the stone wedding. Anything that jumps out at you?
I like color.
I love the gold.
Okay, so
you're asking for a preference on it?
That would be great, yeah.
The one on the left for me, I think the one on the right is just too distracting. It pops out too much.
The
size of the pin is going to be pretty small.
And the one on the right is the way we've been, and the gold is something new.
Special for that 1 year presentation. I would agree with all gold on the left also.
We have two and two?
We have a decision. It's gold.
It's gold.
I take my loss patient.
And then the letterhead.
Which is really kind of nice when we have four of us, then we could actually get a vote out. That's good.
Okay, so those were the options then. So going with the gold, and you've got samples too.
Consistently with gold.
Yes. Okay. And then banners. We asked some of the subcontractors that have worked with the town to be sponsors. And several have come forward, and we've gotten monies that are coming in now. And two of them, we planned on 16 banners to go throughout the town at separate locations on the poles. And two were the first two sponsors that came through, Blue Dart and Scalmanini and Herwitt. And those are two different options of the banner types. I know you'll see a little blue square beyond the seal, but that's just because I had to kind of work with that image because the seal, so that, I'm not making sense.
Yes, you are. We get it.
So you make sure that when you come down the street and you saw a banner that you would see Town or Discovery Bay, and it wouldn't just be the 20 with the town logo in the zero. So you can choose welcome to, and then a celebratory greeting, or just a celebratory greeting.
I like the one on the left.
I agree. Too much writing on the right.
Okay,
yeah.
Welcome to the winner. Okay.
I'm going with the majority.
I'd have lost that one.
And we are going to have President Graves put them up right.
Actually, we're not.
You see the CNA in California? It's covered up by the branches.
Both
of them, it is.
Yeah. You're right. Okay.
The next is the recognition lapel pin that we were talking about and wondering if you would like. I actually brought a sample from a different city, so it's in Leandro. And my husband actually got that. So the same maker would make ours into our, of course, logo. And the stone would be a real emerald.
Bless you.
I'm sorry. So it would be the same logo. Yeah,
right,
that's
right. That's all fine. The question I have, maybe it's me. I'm just looking at that, and it doesn't appear to be big enough to actually see. If you were headed on a lapel or something, you were standing in front of someone, they're going to say, "What is that?" I don't think you could read it.
Yeah.
Do they have different sizes? Like,
yeah.
Increased by so much. Sure.
The one that's shown
is writing on it, it needs to be larger. Yeah. If it's just a symbol, it doesn't need to be larger.
It looks something that's like what's on that lapel.
Yeah.
If it's the biggest what's on that lapel, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
The one that you showed,
it looked like that.
I'll get a dimension. Yeah.
It looks like that. A suit, and I'll be fine.
Okay, and then this is an idea as a giveaway. It's an actual pin. It's made out of metal. They call it pot metal, so it's not a gold plated. And the dimensions on that, they recommend a 1-inch size. This they recommended adding the color to, so that it would have a little definition to it. And it's a 1-inch in width. And then there would not be an emerald, there would just be a green top.
So and what do you do with these?
To hand out to the public.
Is there a clasp on the back?
There's a pin.
Stick pin with a little
ball with a stick pin.
No, I did definitive answer on that.
Or a clipping bar.
Those clip bar ones are so hard to do.
It would just be like a little remembrance for the public.
Now, are you looking, No, I'm sorry. Is there a decision there? This is informative at this point.
Oh, this is just an idea if you'd like to consider having that as an idea to hand out to
people. They're relatively, I mean, very inexpensive, and I think it would be good to be able to have a little bit of bling to hand out.
Well, just so we'll know, what is the inexpensive cost?
Do you need a mug? Do you guys need a mug or something?
That is.
Or like a sippy cup or one of those coffee mugs.
Right, it is.
Pins everybody throws away. Mm-hmm. I got a drawer full of them. Sippy cup.
Well, of course, the more you order, the cheaper it gets. So the 1-inch side, if you ordered a quantity of 500, it's $1.30 each.
$620.
For 500.
And just for clarity, I think it needs to be this order in public. We're out asking for donations to cover the cost of all these things, the lapel pins and this thing and the banners and all that.
Right.
Do you think at this particular time you have enough to do that?
Right.
Or at least haven't received funds, but have any?
We have received some, and we still have more coming in. And at this point, we feel that it's going to cover the anticipated expenses.
Okay. All right. Then, hey, $600. $600. As long as it's not going out of town.
No. So we've got. So, then we'll let you work out the logistics. I'm not going to get in the weeds. Let's move on.
Okay. And then an idea to have a polo shirt. So again, with the two different logos, it's really good for the gold. I think that's.
And
green would be the color, the emerald color, to carry that forward. And that's all I have.
Good job.
Okay.
Thank you. Very nice presentation. Thank you for all your hard work on this. And I think it's great that we have survived this long. Okay. Moving on to item G2, staff.
Well, can we get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any public discussion? Anybody from the public? Okay, hearing none. Any further discussion from the board? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item G2, please, staff. Thank you.
You want to take this one on? You want me to take it? We're still a little dazed and confused from the earlier presentation.
Still trying to catch up.
I got the munchies.
Well, that's what I wondered, if that's what they brought him for. I couldn't figure it out. He was pushing them pretty hard.
I love these quarter sessions. That was Bill Mayer on the microphone.
What are we on here?
We're on board member.
Bass.
We still named it in training as a bass.
Playing keyboard today.
It's fine.
Okay, I'll take this one on. Right now, board members are state mandated to take certain kinds of training, for example, ethics training and sexual harassment training. This takes time. It takes, the member has to complete this and be certified in it. And so we are presenting for your vote that this be included in our bylaws as a day of service. It's up for your consideration.
So is the time is, it's mandated that you stay on, that you can't just take the test like we used to and be done with it. You have to actually stay on the computer for a couple hours on one.
Yeah, there's a couple ways that this can be done. One, you can actually attend the actual seminar, and they have you stay for the full seminar before you get your certificate of completion. And now when you go to take the tests online, those online tests are, there's a couple ways they do it, but almost all of them make sure that you spend at least the mandatory minimum amount of time going through the material on the test. And some of the ways they also do it is that you have to answer certain questions at little segments. It just depends on what company it is, but you're gonna spend the minimum amount of required hours, which is, I think, two for ethics, and I think it's two for sexual harassment, but it could be more.
So it's about four hours of training you're talking about.
Well, yeah, and if I can, maybe I'll jump in and if we can tag team this, Mr. President, is that okay?
Sure.
Thank you. So a couple of points here. One is, yes, there is mandatory requirements associated with AB 1234, which is your ethics conflict of interest, and that is a two-hour course. The second is the new requirement in terms of sexual harassment training. That's going to be a requirement as well. In addition, you've got your standard Brown Act training that you have to do as elected officials. So you've got several courses that you take. There's a couple of ways that you've handled them or board members have handled them in the past, as Mike's alluding to, which is online. Too many people were not following through with it. The grand jury figured out that people were going online, pushing their button, walking away, coming back 2 hours later, collecting their certificate. Now there is some testing requirements with it. CSDA has changed theirs. League of Cities have changed theirs to make you be more committed to it and maybe consider more courses associated with it. There are courses that are presented for a full day. So you can take all of these courses in a day, and they give you financing for public agencies. They give you some other tidbits along with it. There are two bodies of law out there. One is the government code generically that talks about stipends and compensation for elected officials or board members. The second is specific to CSDA law. And the CSDA law provides an additional provision in there, which we've copied in most of your handbook and most of your material, which includes that in order to be eligible for compensation, the member must request and the board must authorize that it is counted as a day of service. So you actually have to take that affirmative action as a board, and that's different than the generic one, which is anytime you have a day of service or you have expenses, you can otherwise submit them. So now we're looking to change and include in your bylaws that the board hereby authorize that a day of service, quote unquote, is the mandatory training required. And you can see in your packet, we've amended the bylaws to reflect that. We've done a couple of other things that I'll note. So when you approve this, you're also gonna approve the amendment to the bylaws if you decide to approve this. And Member Pease requested that the individual names that are in the bylaws come out, so that's been removed. I'll catch you up. So in the bylaws, there was a section that had, because they were drafted in 1998, said the first elected directors.
Yeah, yeah.
I never change those. I keep them in there, and all of the agencies have them in there. You know when it starts, you know who started it. It's historical, it doesn't have any value, it doesn't mean anything, and Director Pease correctly point out, we should remove it, it's extra language. So that's been removed. And the second is we've included language that says that the board is required to take all state mandated courses. We haven't specifically identified them as sexual harassment, AB 1234, but Mike has changed the language associated with that for all state mandated courses. So you've got those three things that are happening in the bylaws should you decide to approve this item this evening.
Any questions from the board, clarification? Any comments from the public? Any questions from the board for clarification?
Mike, typically these classes are offered at the CSDA conference, aren't they? I know 1234 is always on the agenda.
Yeah, I think through the SDL, the special
typical.
The Special District Leadership Foundation puts these courses on.
Yeah.
They're at various locations throughout the state, I think at least a couple times a year.
But that only comes into effect, though, is if you happen to be, yours is expiring at a time when there is a conference, right?
I mean, you can take it before you expire, and then it's an annual thing. If you renew it within 6 months, you renew it within 6 months.
If you were attending the CSDA conference, it'd be a day of service.
You don't have to wait for yours to come, but expiration would take the class.
It may be a point without distinction, because if you were attending the CSDA course and you were attending it, you're there, and so you're going to get stipend for it anyway.
Correct.
Because the CSDA course is approved.
You know, Director Lee, I'm not sure that these courses are included in that particular conference.
I know 1234.
It always is.
It's always a certification.
Yeah, sexual harassment.
CSDA does. Sexual harassment may not be in Brown Act. May not. The Brown Act may not be in sexual harassment. May not be a certifiable course and through a CSDA. I'd have to look. And they change every year depending on who they can get and who they can't get.
But you could also do the Brown Act.
We do offer this course. We tend not to push it very hard on our public agencies just because there's so many free avenues out there. We will tell you, though, that the course that we put on, the sexual harassment, and we do it all in one day, yeah, is much more entertaining than sitting behind a computer and watching it. You haven't met one of my fellow colleagues, Lisa Blanco Jimenez, that does these, and she's absolutely hilarious in them. So worth doing, but it does cost you, I think, $2,500 to put something like that.
Approximately how many of these online tests are we going to be looking at every year? I've only worked two, I think.
Right now, there's three. There's a Brown Act, sexual harassment, and AB 1234.
And well, I think what the report is suggesting is that only those be done in a day. I mean, it's one day of service, not one for each.
That's correct. So the way we've drafted the resolution is because I thought it was could get obnoxious. If you've got a 3-hour course, I'm going to take it in 3 days, or I'm going to split them up in half-hour increments, and I'm going to take it. So we're trying to create an opportunity for you not to abuse it, but yet be compensated for your actual day of service. So what we're intending is that you're going to plan to take all the course in one day, and you get one day of service. If you decide to split it up, you still only get one day of service.
Right. Thank you for that question.
Yes, it's good.
Good question.
Any further questions? Is there a motion?
That's so moved. I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. On to directors of reports. Phil, we had a meeting.
We did. I'm trying to recall. It's the Water and Wastewater Committee meeting. We had a couple of updates in there. I've been out of town a little bit.
That's sufficient. We've got a lot of closed
sessions. The filtration project, you get an update on
and the algae situation and how we're remedying the situation we have with algae in our, it's coming to me now, in our sludge ponds that it's getting into the system, and we think we have a handle on how we're going to be moving forward with that. It's not a critical issue, it hasn't caused us any violations that are going to affect us at this point. And we're working together with the organization that built our filtration plant to help us with that also. And I think Veolia is using a lot of his experience to do that. That was the majority of the conversation, wasn't it?
We've always had an item when you come back in.
Did you come back in after that? Any water site stuff?
I think the only update on the water meter project is there's an issue at Sand Lake.
And we're done.
Something.
They're installed, and we can all look forward to bills.
Sand Bay Isle is still. We still have an issue, but they weren't included in the installation project to begin with. They were treated as a separate project.
Well, we just got an update.
And there was an internal. Bob, you weren't there, though. There was an internal operations committee meeting, and what we did is we asked staff to come forward and present the 20th commemorative. So we had a presentation on that, and we agreed that that should come forward to the board, and that was pretty much what our meeting was for the internal operations and any other meetings that want to be we want to report on.
Yes.
I'm laughing. You're the vice president.
Just a reminder, we have a long closed session.
Yeah, do I have to resolve this for you guys? We had a communications meeting. Primary subject was assigned. You know that there was a sign coming up. It was originally intended to be installed by March, sometime in March. You know, I believe it's June, July timeframe. Hopefully soon.
We're still struggling with some hurdles. We have updates to the committee.
Okay.
And nobody wants
to. More. And then we talked about the committee members. That was it for that.
Anything else?
Yeah, I attended the Contra Costa County Special Districts Association meeting on January 22nd. A lot of business items. There's two items of interest. One, they did a big, long discussion of household hazardous waste and how that process moves forward throughout the county. Lastly, yours truly has been nominated for the Contra Costa County Treasurer's Oversight Committee. So.
Congratulations.
Another nomination. The Dan Committee.
Okay. In manager's report?
Report.
Anything? General manager's report?
No report.
We have some correspondence from ECFPD. Future agenda items would include discussion on the county cannabis.
Correct. That'll be on the next agenda.
And
on the cannabis thing, we have the next agenda.
Yes, and we should invite somebody from the organization of the Beach Honor, another representative.
And then at this point, I would invite council to take us in a closed session.
Thank you. Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn in a closed session per the items listed on the agenda as 0, 1, 2, and 3.